Hi, I'm Honora Foa. Welcome to Mythic Imagination. In keeping with the revels taking place on New Year's Eve, we'll track these exciting masquerades back to their origins in animal guising. Your first question may be, what's animal guising? Let's listen in to a New Year's party in progress to see what we can learn.
Hey, check out that stud.
Looks like a real party animal to me.
Wow, check out that hot chick. Yeah, she's a fox.
As you've just heard, we don't have to look very far back to see how close we are to our animal roots. The wearing of animal disguises in the form of furs and feathers is prehistoric and goes beyond warmth and comfort. To help us understand why our connection to animals is so important, and also discuss their link to displays of abundance in times of scarcity, we'll speak with Catlin Matthews from her home in Oxford, England. Catlin, what can historical events and mythological stories tell us about this time of year?
I think it's important to bear in mind that after about the 11th of November, which is the time here, which we call St. Martin's Mass, this is the time when all the animals that you're not going to be able to feed over the winter time, because you just haven't got enough materials in the barn to keep them alive, you're going to have to slaughter. So that's all your spare cows. You're going to keep some milk cows. You're going to keep some sheep. You're going to keep all the essential animals that will go through to the next year, and just those ones that you can keep alive. And everything else is going to be killed, butchered, salted away, made into sausages, whatever it's going to be. And that's all the meat that you're going to have for the winter period. So we're on a time of short commons. There's not very much in the larder. So that's one of our relationships with animals, is that they keep us alive, and that is a great sacrifice of theirs.
What are the rituals surrounding animal disguising, and why?
Around the midwinter period, something very special happens, that the spirits of those animals come back again, and they come back in the form of the animal disguisings that go on around the midwinter period, and right the way through the 12 days of Christmas very often. These animals then come into their own. The spirits of these animals come back. Some of them are the animals that we have slaughtered, so it may be the ox that comes round. But it's also the other animals, the wild animals that come into their own, like the wren, the king of all birds, which of course is the smallest bird of all.
In the book you wrote with your husband John Matthews, The Winter Solstice, The Sacred Traditions of Christmas, one of the sacred animals that you talk about is the wren. Can you tell us a little more about this ancient tradition and why the wren is considered the king of all birds?
Well, the story with the wren, which goes right the way across Europe and is the focus of very many midwinter customs, is that there was a contest among the animals to see who could fly the highest, and whoever flew the highest would be the king of all the birds. And one by one, all the birds took to the air. They went higher and higher and higher until all that was left was the eagle. And the eagle said, well, I think it must be me. And a little voice from his back said, I don't think so. I think it's me, because it was the wren who had hidden in the feathers of the eagle's back. And so for this reason, the wren is the king of all birds. And around in Britain and Ireland, there was a tradition called the hunting of the wren, which took place on what we call St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day, the day that you gave gifts to your household servants, but which other people call the 26th of December. And on this day, young men would go out and they would try and find a wren, and they would sacrificially kill the wren. They would put it in a little wicker cage, and in disguise they would go about as the wren boys, wassailing around the houses to show the wren. Lastly, this was a custom where people got some money and some offerings and some food and some beer in the good wassailing tradition of the midwinter time. But traditionally, and much earlier on in time, the wren was taken round because it was the death of the old year that was being symbolized here. the wren was the symbol of the year and the symbol of the year that was going to be reborn. So that's one of the animals that goes about at midwinter.
Is there another animal associated with this time of year?
The other one, which is very, very important, is the horse. We've got there are two lots of horse customs in Europe. One of them concerns the May time. There are hobby horses that go out at the May time and bring in the May, which is, of course, the bright half of the year. But at the dark half of the year, there's another kind of horse that goes about. And there are very many of them. But one of the most striking ones comes from South Wales, where she's called the Mari Lwyd, or the Grey Mari, Grey Mary. And if you can imagine a horse's skull upon a pole, and around that pole a sheet and a man underneath holding the skull up, and the Mari goes round with her jaw clacking, because the jaw is set on a spring which can be worked up and down, so the horse's skull makes a talking. And it goes around with a group of mamas, and they go to each house, and they knock on the door, and they sing a song, which goes, Wel dymar na dywyd gyfelion, di newid i ofan am genad, i ofan am genad, i ofan am genad i ganai. Well, we've come here this evening with our friends here to ask your permission this evening, and they knock on the door. And the people who are inside the house try and keep the Grey Mary from coming in by having a riddling contest with her, and they will sing back things like, well, I'm sorry we can't come out because the company's busy, you know, we're preparing the dishes, we've set out the cakes, and we can't come and open the door yet. And so they have a riddling poetic contest in Welsh, one way and the other, until eventually one or the other side gives up and the Mari comes in. And this happens in most of the customs of the disguising in the form of a horse.
In your book, you write about something we hear of in the States, the 12 days of Christmas, but unfortunately, we don't hear much about its mythos. Can you share some of these customs with us?
There's a custom around the period that we call the 12 days of Christmas, which concerns these days in Welsh called the Omen Days, the 12 days of Christmas. And they're the intercalary days, or the days that are left over when you have 12 lunar months. There are some days left over, and they go into the making of the 12 days of Christmas, which we keep as special, not just because it's the Christmas period, but because these are the days where you give to the other world, the days that you give to the gods. And these customs whereby animal disguisings go on and mumming plays take part of place in the street, these are times that have to be given great honor.
John told us about the Abbot's Bromley Horn Dance. Tell us how this fits in with the Morris Ring that you attended.
So I remember a while ago when John and I were at the Morris Ring in Essex, which is when all the Morris dancers from the country meet together. And on the evening of their gathering, just as it was getting dark, the people who opened the evening were the Abbot's Bromley Horn Dance. We were all standing around in the streets, and suddenly, very, very distantly, we heard this little tune coming up over the hill. La-da-da-da-da-da-da. And people began to fall silent as they heard the tune being played on a violin and the sound of the little triangle, this little mystical ting that was coming up over the hill. And suddenly, as they came over the hill, there were these extraordinary beings, men holding the horns, the antlers of reindeer in front of them. And something very special happened as they came. They were not men holding antlers. They were the beings themselves. They were the spirits of the horn. They were the spirits of ancient time coming up that street. It was an extraordinary, extraordinary experience. Okay, I'll also give you the tune of the Abbots Bromley Horn Dance, which is normally played on a little button accordion and is not sung. So it's played on a button accordion, and there's one little boy who goes behind playing a triangle, which makes this incredible strange little ding every now and again, which I won't be able to do. So here we go. The tune goes like this. La-da, 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 da-da, 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 la-da, 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 da-da, 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 la-da, da-da, 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 da. La da 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 da.
Thank you, Catlin, for being on our special New Year's podcast. We look forward to hearing more from you next June at Mythic Journeys 2006. I hear you've got something wonderful up your sleeve.
Well, thank you very much, Nora. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you, and I hope to see you very soon next year at the next Mythic Journeys conference. Goodbye.
Mythic Imagination is a production of the Mythic Imagination Institute. Find us on the web at mythicimagination.org. You can contact us at info@mythicjourneys.org. The sound designer for Mythic Imagination is Brad Barnett. Our producer is Donna Barnett. Special thanks to Creative Digital Group for the generous use of their studio. Find them on the web at creativedigitalgroup.com. Mythic Imagination's musical introduction is by Jeffrey Armus. He can be found on the web at jeffreyarmus.com. We're very grateful to Catlin Matthews for being with us tonight. She tantalized us with her mention of the Pembrokeshire song of the hunting of the wren in the book Winter Solstice, The Sacred Traditions of Christmas, written by Catlin and her husband John. They can be found on the web at hallowquest.org.uk, hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W, quest.org.uk. We'll leave you with Catlin singing this song as her gift to you for the new year. Remember, at Mythic Imagination, we sincerely believe that every life is a story, and a story can change the world.
Joy, health, love, and peace be all here in this place. By your leave, we will sing concerning our King. Our King is well dressed in silks of the best, in ribbons so rare, what king can compare? We have travelled many miles over hedges and stiles in search of our King, unto you we bring. Old Christmas is past, 12th tide is the last, so we bid you adieu, great joy to the new.